Welcome back. You're listening to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and South Dakota School of Mines and Technology students placed second in a bridge building contest. It was a contest sponsored by the Society for Advancement of Material and Process Engineering. Mine students designed a bridge weighing just 12.5 ounces that can carry a 2,000-pound load. And joining me from our Black Hills Surgical Center studios is Dr. David Salem. He's the director of the Composites and Polymer Engineering Lab at Mines. Dr. Salem, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And Krishnan Velaswarmi is a PhD student. Krishnan, thanks for being here. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having us.
And Eric Schmidt, also a PhD student, is with me in the Sioux Falls studio. Eric, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm having you get a little closer to your mic there. And Dr. Salem, let's start and describe this competition for me.
This is a competition that occurs at an international conference. This category of bridge competition is a new one, because it's a so-called sandwich structure competition, which involves sandwiching a very lightweight core material between two high-strength face sheets. And this competition involved, I think, something like 30 different universities, 70 teams. So our team came second, but what we'll talk about is the fact that this material that we used is less expensive than traditional composites and has many advantages despite its relatively low cost.
And this is material that was developed at Mines, is that correct?
Yeah, so we have a group at Mines in the Composite and Polymer Engineering Lab, also associated with the, actually was developed on, as part of the Composite and Nanocomposite Advanced Manufacturing Center, which is a state center also funded by a group of global corporations, where we've been developing lightweight materials that are lower cost than existing high-performance composite materials, which tend to be quite expensive, one of the goals of that center. And the team who've worked on that are permanent research scientists at the in the lab. Andrew Brady and Bert Manhalter have been two of the senior researchers involved in that. And then to make that material, then these students took that material and designed it, the combination of that material with the core structure in such a way that it could be the structure could be optimized to provide a very lightweight bridge design which could withstand the 2,000-pound load. So it's one thing to make the material, then you have to design the structure to make the most of it in combination with other materials.
And Krishnan, let's start with you, and Eric, join in as well, and talk a little bit about how you developed your design.
So, like Dr. Salem mentioned, this is a new category called sandwich bridge. So we have different type of core materials available industrially, like a honeycomb and there are syntactic foams and stuff. For us, the making the face sheet is more important, which is the high strength material. We used thermoplastic matrix, which is recyclable, unlike a thermoset like epoxy and other stuff. So when we submitted this proposal to the bridge committee in Sampi, they were excited, and the reason is they to their knowledge, they don't have received any thermoplastic material bridges. So this was the first bridge that we are going to do in thermoplastic from our school and also to their knowledge. So we were so excited, and then we did a lot of design calculations, like different loadings. So composites is a combination of matrix and reinforcements. So we used carbon fibers, recycled carbon fibers in this case. So how much loading we need, and then what directions you like to have the fibers and stuff. We did a design of experiments to get proper face sheets And then we glued those face sheets together with the core material to make a sandwich composites.
So you make this design, right? Mm-hmm. I'm looking at Eric here too to jump in, but you make this design, but it's just a small model. Is that correct?
Right. So one of the things that we should make clear to the listeners is that this is a bridge that's only 24 inches long and 4 inches wide. It's designed to demonstrate the materials capability and to allow students the opportunity to design these small composite structures to carry specific loads. In the contest, the requirements are, depending on the category that you're in, to meet a load criteria, but then make the bridge as lightweight as possible. So there's different categories where the beam is a box structure or an I-beam. In our case, we were in the sandwich competition. So what it means is that, as Krishna mentioned, it has this lightweight core in the middle, and we used a honeycomb, which is just like the name sounds. It looks just like natural beehive honeycomb, except it's made out of plastic. We put that in the center and then put a sandwich layer of this carbon fiber thermoplastic material on either side. And so what we spent time doing in the design work was figuring out how thick those sandwich layers needed to be. If they're too thick, you're adding extra weight, even though you've met the design load. But if they're too thin, then your bridge fails prematurely. And so that was the work that we were primarily doing to get ready for this competition.
Okay. And you placed second in this competition, so I can't help but wonder what first place looked like. How unique is it?
What I'd want to emphasize there is what they were competing against is traditional composites. So traditional composites, which are tend to use thermosets rather than thermoplastic as a matrix, and use virgin carbon fiber, which means continuous pristine carbon fiber, are very expensive. And one of the only reasons that composites are not more used even more widely than they are today is because of the cost of manufacturing them. So on a strength to weight basis and a stiffness to weight basis, they outperform the most advanced metal alloys, but they are expensive to manufacture. It involves a process which I can go into more detail a bit later if you want, but what we have done is taken, so we haven't produced a super material as such in terms of performance, but what we've done is take recycled carbon fiber, and there's a lot of that about now. Mm-hmm. About 30% of all manufactured carbon fibers ends up as waste. That's 20,000 megatons of carbon fiber, and which will rise to 40,000 megatons by 2020. And that we've taken that fiber, which is much cheaper, like a fraction of the cost, a fifth of the cost of pristine virgin carbon fiber, and found ways of putting that into a thermoplastic matrix as opposed to a thermoset. Now, thermoplastics, have good performance also. In fact, they are tougher than thermosets in many ways, somewhat less strength. But getting that polymer material to penetrate and encapsulate the fibers is very challenging because they're very high viscous materials. You process them in the molten state, and they have a very high viscosity. Whereas thermosets, you process in a state where they have low viscosity, and then cure them to solidify them, which is a costly process. So we've taken a relatively inexpensive polymer, which is easily has challenges in terms of making, impregnating, and making a composite. But once you do it, we've developed a method to do it inexpensively, can compete against these high-cost materials extremely favorably, coming, second in the competition. So it's not so much that, we didn't come first, is it a better material? It's that we came second, despite the fact that there's a much lower-cost material and therefore can be used more widely. For example, in the carbon fiber reinforced composites are being used in aerospace, commercial aircraft now. As you may know, the Boeing 787 is a composite aircraft, and the reason they do that is because they can reduce the fuel consumption by something like 20 to 30% as a result of the lightweight. but the cost is too much for high volume applications like automotives. But if these composite, high performance composite materials could be used in automotive, it would provide much greater weight savings and lower fuel, lower fuel consumption. And so what this material allows is to make, being able to basically stamp out composite sheets at a volume and a cost which is attractive to high volume applications.
And so you have this bridge, this design, and then what? How do you then take that to the next application of actually using it and constructing things?
Right. So in so whether bridge is necessarily the immediate application is probably not the first one that would be used. What it does demonstrate is the strength in structural and semi-structural applications, for example, in beams and structural applications in vehicles and so on. Ultimately, yes, it could be. It can also be used in bridge. Composites are being used in bridge structures, but I think the more immediate applications are going to be in sporting goods and automotive applications.
Sporting goods as in what?
Well, all kinds of things can use composites from...
Composite bats.
Go ahead, Eric. You probably have some better examples.
Yeah, baseball and softball bats are very commonly used for... made out of composites, but so are golf clubs and tennis rackets and skis and high-performance bicycles.
Skateboards.
Okay, so now what? For you as students, tell me what you've learned and what's next for you in your research and in your studies and where you want to take this.
So in my research, I mostly work with the thermoplastic material, which we used for this bridge competition. So in my process, we are trying to get more properties in terms of strength and stiffness. As you see, we are using recycled fibers. As Dr. Salem mentioned, the continuous fiber composites are greater in the strength and stiffness-wise. When we use discontinuous fibers, like it's all kind of chopped, recycled fibers, you don't get fiber orientation in the place you wanted. So, if you have a zero orientation towards the axis, you will have a great property. If you have a 90-degree, if the fiber turned 90-degree in the direction, you will have poor property. So my research is trying to align those fibers in the zero direction as much as possible to get higher performance out of the same material.
And Eric?
My research is along similar lines in the composites industry, but on a different material. So for this particular project, I was just happy to help Krishnan with his materials and participate with the team to build the bridge. And what's next for me is just to finish up some of my research and my projects and write up. And both Krishna and I are hopefully looking to graduate here in the next near future.
Okay. And then do you want to teach or develop commercial products or what is your goal?
I think everything is interesting. And so it just kind of depends on what particular opportunities are present at the time that I'm looking.
So. Krishna?
Same here. All of us here in the field, we love research. So we'll be pretty much most likely in the industry environment doing more research.
I want to say that these students have had a very rich experience in internships as well. Krishnan has spent a semester at the Oak Ridge National Lab. Eric has spent several times at different NASA centers, NASA Glenn and NASA Kennedy. He's also spent months at Blue Origin. Did I leave anything out? He's now at Raven.
I'm at Raven in Sioux Falls.
Raven Industries on internships for a month. So these guys have been around and experienced a lot of different experiences in industry and in government labs. And You know, they've it's great that they've had that experience, so it can help them decide, you know, what they want to do in their final when they go out there into industry. But on the other hand, it may have, you know, made it even more difficult to decide since they since they've had so many interesting experiences.
I know too that Matt Phillips was also one of the other students on mm-hmm. our team for this bridge, and he had a summer internship also this past summer dealing with mm-hmm. composites. And so I know that his experience with working with this bridge competition and working at the Cape Lab has also been really helpful for him in terms of figuring out what he wants to do and the opportunities that he's had. So that's great.
And I'm curious as what you're learning about these fibers, and is this something then that can be translated into a type of 3D printing at all?
Yes. So 3D printing, of course, is a great interest right now. It's still not providing material or parts at high enough volume to be, of, you know, for mass production. But it's certainly you can make complex designs that you can't easily do otherwise. Certainly good for prototyping. Well, there are now fairly recently 3D printers that include fiber reinforcement. So there are a few companies who are now making 3D printers that include fiber reinforcement. And in fact, they have similar issues to ones that we have overcome in this project or helped to mitigate, and that is when you try and, in a thermoplastic material, which you process in the melt, when you try and mix the fiber evenly and distribute it well, you end up often chopping it to lengths that are where it becomes just a powder by the time you've finished, which is a very small length, which doesn't help properties. It makes it weaker than it would otherwise be. So we have developed, part of the process we developed is to compound or mix that fiber with the polymer in such a way that we minimize the attenuation of length. And there are similar problems with 3D printing with the discontinuous fibers, is that they end up very short. So that's one of the challenges with using fibers in the 3D printing process now. But there are, you know, one of the things we are interested in and actually are starting to work on is applications to translate what we've done for making sheets. We make sheets through this project, which are laminated, making the kind of feedstock that you need for a 3D printer and maintaining fiber length.
All right. Well, I want to thank you all for taking time and sharing this project with us and joining us from our Black Hills Surgical Center studios, Dr. David Salem and Krishnan Velashwarmni. Thank you so much for being with us. And Eric Schmidt, thanks for being here too. I appreciate you taking the time. I also want to thank Dan Peterite and Eddie Sullivan for being on the program today.